When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. I hope you all had a great weekend, but no matter what kind you had, you didn't have as much fun as President Biden, who wrapped up his tour of Ireland. It was everything he dreamed it would be. He met with relatives, he toured some castles, he got to visit the Malarkey Factory. Throughout the trip, he delivered a bunch of speeches, obviously, including this one in Dublin, where he ended with these inspiring words.
There's nothing our nations can't achieve if we do it together. I really mean it. So thank you all. God bless you all. Let's go lick the world. Let's get it done.
Yeah, baby. Lick the world. Lick the world.
Lick the world. Oh, God.
I have no idea what the hell that means. But if anybody can do it, it's Joe Biden. Then, Biden was off to his ancestral home of County Mayo, where he gave one hell of an entrance.
Please welcome a son of Ballina and the 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Wow! It's Joe Biden's first ever WWE entrance.
Oh, you know what that music means. It's the Scranton Scrambler coming in hot on the Acela Payne train, and he's got a ticket for the riot car. Woo, woo!
Now, thank you very much. After that intro, for some reason, Biden started his speech like this.
Hello! Mary, I see the light.
No.
Oh, no.
There are three things you never say at your age, sir. I see the light. That can wait until tomorrow. And I'll drive. Biden also reminisced about his ancestors who never dreamed this day would come.
I doubt he ever imagined his great-great-great-grandson would return 200 years later as president of the United States of America.
Wow, I'm sure he'd think that was cool. But someone born 200 years ago might find other things more impressive. Saints preserve us, my great-great-great-grandson is president, that's fine. But now tell me more about this typewriter in your pocket that plays pornography. Back stateside, we're all excited because today was supposed to be the first day of Dominion's defamation trial against Fox News. But early this morning, when I was all set with a breakfast of popcorn and champagne, I learned that the Dominion versus Fox trial was delayed. No. Mm-mm. You cannot take this away from me. This is my Super Bowl. I wanted to see the courtroom sketch of Rupert Murdoch. So because of this, we had to make our own. Here's a little behind-the-scenes info. To make that sketch, we just traced a scrotum and drew glasses on it. But but it looks like the trial might not just be delayed. There's a chance it might not happen at all, because apparently Fox News is looking for a possible way to settle the case. Settle? Dominion? Join me over at the brunch cam. Girl, do not settle. You are worth more. No. I won't hear it. You are worth more than that. Approximately $1.5 billion in damages. He lied to you. He said you cheated, but you never did. And if you don't make him grovel, he's just going to pull this with another innocent young voting company. Can I try your waffle? That's a mimosa, man. There's more trouble for Supreme Court justice and man being told he might face consequences, Clarence Thomas. We'd already learned that Thomas accepted lavish gifts and trips on the yacht and private jet of billionaire and Gordon Ramsay dredged from a lake, Harlan Crowe. Crowe, as an arch conservative, is known for his assorted Nazi memorabilia and garden full of statues of the 20th century worst despots. It's so impressive that they put him on the cover of Hitler, Holmes, and Goebbels. Now, Thomas claims, Justice Thomas claims, that he did not have to report all these gifts because he and Crowe are such close buds. But this must be one hell of a friendship, because on Thursday, we learned that back in 2014, Harlan Crowe bought property from Clarence Thomas, including the house where Thomas's elderly mother was living. That might give him a little influence. No, Clarence. You vote however your conscience dictates, but remember, I am your mother's landlord. Oh, Mom's power just went out. Oh, now it's back on. Seriously, vote however you want. Oh, Mommy's in the dark again. Hope she can find the fridge. Isn't that where she keeps her insulin? Now, yeah, he's the villain in this story. Now, not only did Crowe buy the house, but let Thomas's mother continue to live there, made renovations, including a carport, a repaired roof, and a new fence and gates, and she lives rent-free. Say what you will, Clarence Thomas has won Mother's Day. Oh, chocolate-covered strawberries again. That's nice. I hear Mrs. Thomas's son betrayed the justice system to get her a carport. Now, Crowe claims there's nothing corrupt about this, saying, my intention is to one day create a public museum at the Thomas home. Just a reminder, Harlan Crowe has Hitler's napkins and a statue of Stalin in his garden, so building you a museum, not a huge compliment. Now, technically, folks, there's a federal law that requires justices to disclose the details of real estate sales over $1,000, but Thomas never disclosed this sale. However, now that everybody knows about it, Clarence Thomas says he will amend his financial disclosure forms to reflect the sale. What? You don't get to just make good after you've been caught? All right, you caught me, I stabbed him, but watch as I take the knife out of his chest, put it back in the drawer, okay? Now give me those stabbing disclosure forms. Hold on, stab. Stab. Stabity stab. Yesterday, Crowe did an interview and gave his side of the story, telling the reporter, I have to set the record straight, adding, but before I do, I must tell you, I also bought your mother's house. Flick, 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 flick. Crowe explained how the two pals met. Crowe was in D.C. Back in the day, where he got word from some executive pals of his that Thomas needed to go to Texas for a speaking engagement, so he offered him a ride on his private jet. And as Crowe explained, during that flight, we found out we were kind of simpatico. We're the same age. We grew up in the same era. We come from absolutely polar opposite life stories, but we had a lot in common. It's a heartwarming American story. Even though two people might have totally opposite backgrounds, they can still come together in the sky to enjoy honey roast peanuts on Himmler's snack tray. When the reporter asked, did he ever consider his friendship with Thomas as a ticket to quid pro quo, Crowe said, every single relationship, a baby's relationship to his mom, has some kind of reciprocity. No, no, no. He's right. It's just like a baby. Clarence Thomas is sucking on his money teat. This weekend... This weekend, The NRA hosted their annual convention in Indianapolis. One of the speakers was South Dakota governor and Yellowstone extra distracted by two horses having sex. Christy Noem. Noem wanted to assure the audience that it is never too early to get your kids excited about packing heat.
Did you know that I'm also a grandmother, not just once, but twice? Have two beautiful grandchildren, little Miss Addie, who is almost two, and Branch, who's just a few months old. They have brought us so much joy. Now, Addie, who, you know, soon will need them, I want to reassure you, she already has a shotgun and she already has a rifle.
A toddler with a shotgun and a rifle. That's the really terrible twos.
Up next, Laura Benanti.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
You know, ever since leaving the White House 2 years ago, we've heard very little from former First Lady Melania, but lately her name's been back in the news, though mostly just her name, because she was notably absent from both her husband's arraignment in New York as well as from his speech that night at Mar-a-Lago. And reports say that Melania has been so reluctant to re-enter public life that the former president had to beg her to be seen in public with him. You know it's serious. Usually, he only begs for 11,000 more votes in Georgia. But on Easter Sunday, she did finally make an appearance with the ex-president, having a very public brunch with him at Mar-a-Lago. It's an Easter miracle. The marriage has risen, or the check has cleared. As you can see, their table was roped off, but it's unclear if that was to keep people away or to prevent her from fleeing. Now, there are conflicting reports out there about how supportive Melania intends to be toward her husband during his legal fights and re-election campaign. One insider claims Melania is not now or hasn't recently taken part in her husband's political events. It's not comfortable for her. Meanwhile, another source says they had a major talk and she has agreed to be on board. Now, it seems contradictory unless they mean on board a plane back to Slovenia. So, here's the thing. Will Melania be standing by her husband, and will she start appearing in public again? Here to tell us in public, live from Mar-a-Lago, is the former First Lady. Thank you so much. It's great to see you again, Madam First Lady. How have you been the last 2 years?
Oh, I have never been best better, Stephen. You can see how happy I am from the smile on my face.
Okay, so you've been enjoying life outside the White House?
Absolutely. It is so good to get away from Washington and get back to normal life, spending time with my family, enjoying roped-off brunches at my live-in golf prison, and disposing of top-secret documents.
That looks fibrous.
Mm. You can really taste the national security.
Now, Madam First Lady, I know the topic may be just a little sensitive, but I have to ask you about your husband's arrest.
Oh, Stephen, I just hate hearing that word.
Arrest?
No, husband.
Well, all right. But to that point, some people think that you were not appearing in New York during your husband's arraignment, that was a sign that you don't support him in his legal fight.
Lie, Stephen. Why would I want to be around all those glamorous New Yorkers when I can be down here watching retired orthodontists play pickleball?
Well, okay, but then why didn't you attend the event he had right down there at Mar-a-Lago?
I was there, Stephen, but nobody saw me because, during his speech, I happened to be in the bathroom.
But you were using the bathroom for the entirety of his 30-minute speech?
What? If he can spend half an hour spewing crap, then so can I. Up top!
Moving on. This case must be difficult for you, Madam First Lady, since it involves your husband's affair with Stormy Daniels. Mm. How do you feel about her?
Honestly, I feel bad for that woman, Stormy Daniels. I know what she has been through. Worst 90 seconds of your life.
But still, having your husband get arrested must have been pretty stressful for you.
Oh, so stressful. To stay calm, I have had to practice mindful breathing exercises. Inhale, exhale.
Madam First Lady, reading between the lines here, I get the impression that you are not supporting your husband through his legal issues and re-election campaign.
What? No, Stephen. No, what? And furthermore, what? No!
But so we can expect you to see you out campaigning for him during this election cycle?
Oh, absolutely. We will be going to all the battleground states. When he goes to Iowa, I go to New Hampshire. When he goes to New Hampshire, I go to Pennsylvania.
And if he goes to jail?
I go to Vegas, baby. Come on! Mama needs a new pair of stilettos!
The former First Lady, everybody. We'll be right back with Josh Groban.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
My first guest this evening is a Tony and Grammy-nominated singer and actor who sold over 30 million records worldwide. Now he's back on Broadway as the demon barber of Fleet Street in Sweeney Todd. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Josh Groban.
Good to see you. Thank you so much for
Glad
having
to see
me.
See you again.
Great to see you.
Have not sat to talk with you in person in a minute or two.
Yes.
So I haven't had a chance to thank you publicly. For last year, you and Sarah Bareilles did a song in celebration of the 50th anniversary of my Ben and Jerry's charity ice cream.
And what a song.
Yes. American Dream.
Lewis wrote an extraordinary.
Amazing arrangement by Lewis over there, the band. Let's show a little clip of what you guys did.
Some other stuff, and there's all those other secret things which I cannot say, like how you chased away the aliens and saved the U.S. American dream, you were always there. You were always there.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
I had
what an honor.
Oh my goodness, the honor was mine, sir.
Yes.
I had just gotten that melody out of my head about 3 days ago, and now it's back for
you're
forever,
welcome.
Baby. Yeah.
Okay, well, you're never gonna get these melodies out of your head because you're back on Broadway.
Yes.
So excited.
Thank you.
Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. You made your debut in 2016 in Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Yes, thank you.
So, okay, is being back on Broadway like riding a bike?
It's, you know, it definitely, you rely on muscle memory a lot. It's an amazing thing after touring and being in various venues around the world to be like, to have a house that's your house and you're inviting people to your space and your energy every night to continue to tell a story that you've, for me, I've loved this show since I was very, very little. So to have the opportunity to give this show to people who've seen it 50 times. And then, you know, we have such an incredible cast with Annalee Ashford and Gaten Matarazzo and Jordan Fisher. So we've got, like, lots of young fans for them in the audience mm-hmm. and who's never seen Sweeney Todd before. And you can hear the verbal clutching of pearls out there when they hear the twists and turns of this show. Like, I assume everybody's seen it and know what happens, but mm-hmm. you hear this, and I go, I'm like, yeah, good, they got it. Good. So
it's a bit of a dark tale. I don't want to give away, you know, too much out there for the people who haven't seen it yet, who might want to clutch their pearls when they get there.
Sure.
Have you lost your taste for meat pies yet?
I you know, what's funny about our meat pies in this particular production is that I'm a pescatarian, and Annalee Ashford is gluten-free. So they've baked us specific, very L.A. meat pies for us with, like, vegan, gluten-free flour. There's flour going all over the place. So, no, these pies are disgusting.
Are they like, that sounds dry. I don't know why that sounds dry to me.
It's very dry. It's very crumbly. She sings, she gives me a pie in one of the scenes to eat, and she's singing about how disgusting the pie is, and it's method. It is disgusting. There's a lot of hard things I have to do in the show, but the hardest part in the show is I have to take a bite of this disgusting, crumbly, flaky pie, and I have to somehow get it down, and then I have to sing this ballad called My Friends, this beautiful, like, soaring ballad to my razors with just flaky crumbs going all, just having a dance on my vocal cords.
Not a spot of moisture in your mouth.
Not a moisture. You spend so much time backstage warming up your voice, and then it's just like, nope, all goes to hell.
Yep. Here you are together.
There we are. That's the
Josh
song.
And Annalee. That's the song right there, My Friends. Yeah. You recently, this is a great photograph. You recently got together with other Sweeneys.
This was so fun.
Sweeneys.
This was a
to
blast.
Celebrate. It was Sondheim's birthday, wasn't it?
You know what's strange is that we all had to put our schedules in, and the day that it lined up for us to all be available happened to land on Sondheim's birthday. And so that's me with the original Sweeney Todd, Len Carreyrou, the wonderful Michael Cerveris, and the incredible Norm Lewis. Mm-hmm. And
today, so talking to these fellows here, especially, you know, Len. Is there anything that they imparted about the demon barber to you that was useful to you in any way?
Well, each one of them gave such a unique and incredible take on the role, and I think that that's the incredible thing about carrying the torch and holding on to it and keeping it lit until the next amazing production of it. Michael Cerveris gave me some incredible advice, which is that, like, when I have a lot of blood on me at some point in the show, and certainly by the end of Bloody, I've killed people, eaten people, it's fine. Spoiler. He's a demon barber. I mean, that's fine. Is to wash it off before you go home. Like, in all the ways, wash it off. Because it's a big role. It's a dark role. There's a lot you're taking on to do it.
You mean,
and
like,
so
metaphorically
wash it off.
So don't go home and slit people's throats.
That's, you know what? Some roles, it's okay to go back. I imagine going home after the Music Man was a delight.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Josh Groban, everybody. Stick around.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Theater, Josh Groban. After spending so much time with Sondheim's incredible words and music, and you know, sadly, we lost even Sondheim during COVID.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to ask him? Any questions you have for him about this part, or really just about his work?
Sondheim loved seeing his work interpreted and done. He always had a light in his eye whenever he talked about a production somewhere that was going to do one of his works. We felt very, very grateful that he knew that this was going to happen, and he was excited that we were doing it. And he passed away, sadly, 2 days before our first music rehearsal, over a year ago now.
Did you ever have a chance to perform his stuff in front of him?
I did get to sing music for him, yes. I mean, I was very lucky to have had a friendship with him, and I got to sing for him. And
That's nerve-wracking.
Oh, it was nerve-wracking. You know, I was very fortunate to ride on the coattails of the late, great Barbara Cook, who invited me. She knew I was a big fan of Sondheim's and invited me to sing with her at the Met here in New York. Mm-hmm. And we sang Move On together from Sunday in the Park with George, and Steve was out there, and I didn't know that he was out there. And she said, oh, you know, Sondheim was out there. And he said it was really, 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 really beautiful. I'm like, what? Wow. He did? And then I got invited to sing at a birthday concert for him at the Hollywood Bowl, and that's when I got the hug. That's when I got the hug and the call me Steve. That was a big moment for any young person's life. It's getting to meet him was just the best.
I want to ask you about this right here.
Oh yeah.
This is a great photograph. This is you performing the Star Spangled Banner outside the
Cape Canaveral.
Is it the very large assembly building?
That is the largest double doors, I think, in the world. Yeah.
Outside Kennedy Space Center. What are you doing there?
Getting allergies. I'm just standing in a field.
Yeah. When was it?
This was, we taped it for the Artemis 1 launch that was the one that
went uncrewed
mission to the moon. And I'm a space nut. And so when they asked me if I would film a national anthem and send it to them from home, I said, if I just happened to get a ticket to Florida, would you be okay setting up a microphone? And they're, yeah, come on by. We'll give you a tour of the building. Coolest day of my life.
You went in the building?
Oh, I went in the building.
I've been there, but I've never been in.
We went in, and they had the rocket was in the building. And I don't know if you get this, like, I get a weird feeling when I see large things where they shouldn't be. Like, when I see a shipwreck underwater. You know that weird feeling? You get too close to the Statue of Liberty, like, ugh. It's weird. Seeing a space, I'm the only one, it's okay. Seeing that rocket in the hangar, which is, I think, one of the tallest freestanding buildings in the world, was remarkable. And then watching it, they asked if I wanted to do it live on the day, and I'm glad we pre-taped it because they delayed it about 8 times.
Did you get to see a launch?
I watched the launch on TV because they wound up doing it at like 2 a.m.
Wouldn't you want to be there for a launch though?
That's my next on my bucket.
Especially this one, because these are the big rockets, not the low Earth orbit stuff. This is to the moon.
Absolutely.
I hear you feel it in your chest.
You feel it. I got to, before they put the rocket on the pad, I got to go take a tour of what they call the flame trench. Which is where all the where the fire goes. Not ominous. Yeah.
Yes.
And they're like,
Would you like to see the flame trench?
would you like to see the flame trench, Mr. Groban? Mm-hmm. And the guy who's giving us the tour is like, oh yeah, we lose about 1,000 birds every time we launch one of these guys. I'm like, oh
no.
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 I think he was kidding.
He was kidding.
Nobody survives the flame trench. Yeah.
We throw a lot of corn in there beforehand.
Yeah. Sir, I'm a pescatarian.
Yeah. So, let's say when they launch Artemis 2, we go down there.
I would love to. Let's do
sure.
it. Yeah, I'll give you a tour of the flame trench.
I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Josh, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
CBS Sunday, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. You never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday, after The Equalizer, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.